Second Chronicles chapter 20. Open your Bibles to this part of the Word of God. And I want to speak to you this morning on something that I believe will be a help to you. You know, I've never seen a time. By the way, I meant to say two, three other things. I am so thrilled that Vernon and Bertha Key are here in the service this morning. These are two of the dearest people that ever lived on earth. We love them. Brother Vern's been a deacon here in our church for many years. And I've mentioned this before, but I'm so happy that Brother Clyde Brown and his dear wife are here. And there are no dearer people in the world than these. And they've been ill and not able to be with us on a regular basis. But I am so thrilled to have these dear people here with us in the service this morning. And you'll never know what they have meant to this church. But I start to say I've never known a time when so many of the Lord's people are going through some kind of trial or another. For instance, I've never known a time when more of the people of Emmanuel Baptist Church were going through a serious illness than there are at this time. I've never known a time when there were as many people in Emmanuel Baptist Church who are going through a time of trial of some sort or another as they are at this time. And I think maybe it has had some influence on what I'm speaking to you about this morning. And then again, another message tonight of a different line. I also meant to say before I said that, but you know, I think my lot in life is to mess up the routine things, like I did Brother Wayne Halleck's song. But I meant to say before I said all of that, Ms. Malone, who's here in the service this morning, is taking a brief leave of absence from leading the music. And I might say that in the 43 years Ms. Malone has been leading the music here, no one in this world could have been more faithful to her job than she has been. And I know what it means to take a leave of absence. I've thought about it a lot of times in my life, but I'm not talking about the brief kind. I'm talking about permanent leave of absence. But anyway, that's what she's doing. She's here this morning, and I wanted you to know why that Brother Jim is leading the music instead of Mrs. Malone. Now, I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm just going to read a few verses from this chapter this morning. Just look right at the close of the chapter. We'll get from this the setting for our message this morning. And if I had a subject to attach to the message today, it would be this: when your ships are all sunk. For that's what the scripture is talking to us about this morning. When your ships are all sunk. Now notice this. After this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Marishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. And I want to lift an expression out of this passage of scripture this morning. And the ships were broken. And another account of this is found in the book of 1 Kings. And it says the ships were sunk. And these are the ships of a good man. You know, there's a lot behind the little text that I'm going to take this morning that time does not permit us to deal with in detail. Jehoshaphat's one of the best men you'll find in the Old Testament. And there were some tremendous things said in the Bible about this good and this wonderful man. For instance, you read about this account in another place in the Old Testament that these ships were going to a place called Ophir in order to get literally boatloads of gold. The gold of Ophir was mentioned many times in the Bible. Sometimes I've read where people have said, well, his ships were broken because he was going to get gold from the seaport of Ophir. And none of us this morning know exactly where that might have been. It might have been one of the seaports of the continent of Africa. Or there's another possibility. No one knows exactly where it was. But it's a place mentioned at least four times in the Bible as being famous for its abundance of gold. And you'll read in another account of what I'm talking to you about this morning that these ships of Jehoshaphat, a good man, were going to Ophir in order to receive boatloads of gold. I find no fault with that. His country had been at war. His government had to be operated. I find no selfishness on his part that he's going to Ophir to receive shiploads of gold. I think he went for a good purpose, for the support of his government, like all governments have to be supported. And I do not think for one fleeting moment that God sunk his ships because he was going to get boatloads of gold. I think the scripture tells us why the ships of this man were sunk. This man had one great weakness. This man, Jehoshaphat, he was one of the best men in the Bible. But there was a weakness in his life that the Bible describes. For instance, one day, one of the most wicked men that ever lived was king in Israel while Jehoshaphat was king in Judah. And this godless Ahab, king in Israel, who'd made the religion of Baal a state religion, and in the capital city of Samaria had built a great house to the false god Baal. He's married to the most wicked woman you'll read about in the Bible, a woman guilty of murder, scheming to put to death the lives of innocent people, Ahab and Jezebel. One day Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, you know, I want you to join with me against a common enemy. And Jehoshaphat made one of the worst statements that a good, godly man could ever make. He said, I am as thou art. And he joined with Ahab, and God brought great destruction upon this affinity. In fact, it brought about the death of Ahab, and it brought about the rebuke of Jehoshaphat. For God rebuked Jehoshaphat for his alliance with a wicked man who served a false god. And Ahab was killed in that battle. And the prophet of God came to Jehoshaphat and rebuked him and said, how can you love the ungodly and help the ungodly against the Lord? When Ahab died, another wicked man came to the throne of Israel, a son of Ahab by the name of Ahaziah. The Bible says briefly of Ahaziah, he was so wicked his reign lasted 2 years only. The Bible says briefly of Ahaziah, he walked in all the sins of his father and all the sins of the wicked king before him. And Ahaziah was a wicked man. And one day Jehoshaphat, this good man, said to Ahaziah, let's get the ships from Tarshish and let's cooperate together and let's sail these ships to the port of Ophir and let us load them with gold and bring them back to our two kingdoms. But the Bible says, the Lord hath broken thy works and the ships are broken. And that says to me, first of all this morning, that when God is not in something, when God is not in an alliance of a Christian with an unholy person, God knows how to sink those ships. And that's what happened here. The Bible says, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships are sunken. This is a principle by which God deals with his people. But you know, sometimes folks' ships are sunk who have no unholy alliance. And I think it's a part of life, and it's a part of the Bible, to read that many times people in their lives step out upon the shores, as it were, and look up and down the line of the sea, and they see all their ships broken to splinters and dashed upon the shore, and their ships are sunk. I have been corresponding for a number of months, maybe a few brief years, with a church and a preacher going through one of the greatest trials of illness that a preacher could ever have. He was a young man and in the bloom of youth and doing a great work for the Lord. And his people loved him, and they still do. But awful disease and sickness came till he lost his kidneys and transplants and all of these. I received those letters over a period of some 2 or 3 years and responded accordingly. The other day I received a letter from the preacher, and the preacher said, I can no longer preach. He said, my health is gone, and I have only a short time to live, and I want to thank you for your prayers and so forth. And I thought of that good man in the bloom of youth, had gone all out for God and pastoring a church and preaching the word of God. But one day recently, he stepped about upon the shores of life and saw the scattered debris of all of his fleet, and God had sunk his ships. You know, this happens sometimes, but you know, there's something to be learned from it. When God sinks your ship, you know, he will make you, God is teaching us that he'll make you sorry if his laws of separation are violated. And I don't know of anything in this world this morning, in the spiritual realm, that's being broken down any more than the laws of separation. If I had the time this morning, I'd like to go from one area to another. You take in the matter of music in churches all over America. The music of the world has been adapted to be used in the house of God. I have no interest in that. I'd set a match to this church and burn it to the ground before I'd ever have what's called Christian rock music sung in this church. We don't have to imitate the Philistines. We don't have to act like the world. We have our own thing. God's given it to us. We have a song to sing, and we would not go that route under any circumstance. And far as I know, no one wants to. But a lot of churches in America are ruined. You can't have a revival where you're having worldly music in the church. And I'm saying to you that the Bible says, whosoever is a friend of this world is an enemy to God. And the Bible says, come ye out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you. You shall be sons and daughters unto me. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you know, the Lord said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest unto your souls. What the Lord is saying, put your neck in the yoke with me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And a yoke brings two things together. And all you need today is to be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, a Christian ought to be careful what yoke he sticks his neck into. And a Christian who yokes up with people that don't believe the Bible and do not believe in the deity of Christ and the blood as the saving portion of the Lord, you have no right as a Christian sticking your head in a yoke with them. I learned from this that God would make a Christian sorry who adopts the ways of the world, who links up with the world, and who is unequally yoked in a yoke with someone they're not to be linked up with. I think this morning of an evangelist. Maybe if I'll just apply some of this to preachers, you won't feel so uncomfortable. I think an evangelist a few years ago, he was a denominational evangelist. And there's nothing said in the Bible about denominations, not one word. You can search it through and through and through and study it and read it, but the denominations are not taught in the Bible. Independent local churches are taught in the Word of God. And there is no tie between any two churches. I mean, Bible-believing churches, there's no kind of tie, no kind of bonds, no kind of union, except the tie of fellowship. And there's nothing else taught in the Bible. But this man was a denominational evangelist from a denomination whose schools have all gone bad, and who are having a great argument at this very moment on whether the Bible's the Word of God or not. It doesn't take me long to decide what I'm going to do about people that don't believe the Bible to be the inerrant, pure, and impeccable Word of God. I believe that this morning. But anyway, independent Baptist churches begin to have it. Money became a big thing. Other things became a big thing. All of a sudden, his whole life ended in shame and disgrace, and he's no longer accepted as a man of God. I'm saying to you, when you compromise with whom you yoke yourself, God knows how to sink your ships. And that's exactly what happened here. God teaches, I think the Lord taught Jehoshaphat something about himself. You know, the reason I know this is because in another account, I don't have time to go to other places in the Bible and read, but in another account, the same thing. Evidently, they rebuilt ships. They took the ships of Tarshish. Tarshish people were great shipbuilders. They rebuilt the ships, and old wicked Ahaziah said to Jehoshaphat the second time, I want to go with you to offer to receive boatloads of gold. And Jehoshaphat this time said, no, you're not going with me. We're not going together. And I think God taught Jehoshaphat something about himself. God taught him that his weakness was his unholy alliance with unbelieving men of the world. And God showed him what his weakness was. I was listening the other day to some drug addicts. God only knows how our country is filled with drug people. And the billions of dollars and the hundreds and thousands of crimes. Who would have ever thought 25 years ago that our country would be fighting an inside war against one of the greatest enemies this world's ever had, and that is the enemy of drugs. But I listened to people who had been rehabilitated and delivered from the drug addiction. I mean serious hard drugs, heroin and so forth. And I heard one of them say, they said, do you feel you're all right now? He said, yes, I am. They said, what's the greatest lesson you learned? And this man, who made no profession of being a Christian, he may or may not be. But this man said, I learned something about myself in this. But God had to sink his ships. He came to the place where his body was one huge sore. He came to a place where people said, you're right ready for the grave. You're not going to live long. You've about had it. God had to sink his ships. And then he said, this is not for me. God knows how to do that. He knows how to teach us something about ourselves. You know, you and I need to learn our weakness, and then we'll seek God's guidance. Jehoshaphat never sought the guidance of God. He learned something else. He learned something about God. He learned that God sent a preacher to him. Now, you know, I don't know what people really think about preachers. I know what some folks think about preachers. And I have never been one to worry about what people thought about me. I know what I think about people. I know I love people. And I know I respect people. And I know I look at every person as an individual who is a living soul. And I look at every person as one for whom Jesus died on the cross. But I've been taken up with the fact God called me to preach. And I'm going to preach the Bible as best I know how. And I couldn't give that much about what people think about it, really. I want people to love me as I love them. But I never have cared of what people thought about preachers. But one day a preacher, and he is mentioned here, a preacher by the name of Eliezer, came to old Jehoshaphat and said, Jehoshaphat, you want to know why your ships were broken? They were broken because you were lined up with a godless man by the name of Ahaziah. And I want to say something to you this morning, and I'm going to take myself out of the picture for a moment. You better thank God for preachers that preach the Bible. You better thank the Lord for preachers that stand for something. Because I want to tell you, America is on a greased track to hell right now. And the only thing that's going to stop it is a bunch of preachers filled with the Holy Ghost who will preach the Bible as it is to men as they are. And I don't know what you think about preachers, but I want to tell you, if you've got a preacher that believes the Bible, if you have a preacher that believes that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, you ought to pray for that preacher. You pray for the doctor when they're going to open up the body of your loved one or your little child. Why not pray for the man God has put between your loved ones and hell to help you to get them saved? So God, he learned. God has preachers, and God sent a preacher to him. He learned that God can use nature to destroy his ships. You know, I'm not talking about signs of the times, but I believe that earthquakes that have come so frequently around the world, and they say that the rim of the state of California is nothing but one huge earthquake waiting to happen. Seismologists who study the thing say that that's what's going to happen, that California has the potential of breaking off into the sea, as it were, the ocean rim of it. An earthquake that killed thousands of people in Mexico City. And there have been as many as 55,000, I think, more, maybe in China years ago, maybe 175,000 people killed in an earthquake. Storms come and they blow away millions of dollars of precious property, people's homes and buildings and places of industry and so forth. You know, nature is controlled by Almighty God. And God knows how to use the stormy sea to sink the ships of people when they need to be sunk. And sometimes, I repeat, the ships of good people are sunk with earthquakes and storms. He learned something else. He learned of the power of God. He learned that man is no match for God, and neither are you. And I talked to some people in my life about the Lord, And they feel God has no control over me. God has no right to my life. Nevertheless, my soul. I talk to people that literally, as it were, are challenging God. But I want to tell you, friend, I don't have nerve enough to do that. To challenge and to dare God. You know, I believe the Bible said the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. It says a lot about the fear of the Lord. And I believe if a man fears the Lord, he doesn't ever need to fear anybody else. I believe if you fear God, you don't ever look into two eyeballs of a person that you're afraid of. And I fear God this morning. But I will tell you, some folks don't fear God. They say, it's my life and I'll live it. I'll live it the way I want to, as long as I want to. God has no part in it and God has nothing to do with it. Don't ever believe that. I beg you, as one who loves your life and your soul, don't ever believe that God cannot sink your ships. And the old Jehoshaphat learned of the power of God. I've mentioned this in this church before, I guess more than once. But it's so unusual. A man down in Tennessee many years ago, his little daughter took sick and died. And listen, don't ever think you're going to ever be able to explain everything God does. God is infinite and you're finite. God is omniscient. And you and I are not. God knows everything. And we know we see through a glass darkly in this life. Don't ever think you're going to be able to explain everything. I sometimes despair when people come to me and say, preacher, why? I don't know why. No one can explain the dealings of a sovereign God. But a little girl died in the home of a man that hated God. And nobody can really say God took the little girl because the father was unsaved. God's taken the little girls of fathers who were saved. But the little girl died nevertheless. And a man, a country man, whose little daughter died, walked out to his wood pile, or he cut wood in order to heat his home and heat water and so forth. And he looked up. His heart was broken. His little child, the neighbors, as it did in the country, getting together, bathed the little body. There's no such thing as embalming. Person died today, they were buried tomorrow. And the neighbors got together to take the little precious body, bathe it, and put on the little clothes for burial. And they said to him, we must heat some water. He walked out in the wood pile, looked up in the heavens, and said, now you can overcome a little girl and you can kill my precious baby girl. But why don't you come down here and fight with a man? And shook his fist in the heavens toward God. And he reached down to put his hand under the axe handle to chop the wood, and a little old insect, no bigger than the part of the end of my little finger, bit him on the finger. And in a few hours or days, blood poison set in, and in a few days, they buried him by the side of the little new-made grave of his little daughter. Don't you ever shake your fist at God. God said to Jehoshaphat, I want to teach you, you are no match for the Almighty God. Neither you, neither am I. God knows how to sink your little navy and give you a glimpse of the broken debris of your ships of good intentions lying up and down the seashore of your life. God taught Jehoshaphat something else. And it's a sweet thing. God taught Jehoshaphat, I love you. That's what God is saying. Jehoshaphat, I love you. You know why? Because God delivered him from greater disaster. Suppose he'd gone on, nothing had ever happened. And he lived his life believing you can line up with a wicked Ahab and a godless Ahaziah and God will prosper you and there's nothing wrong in it. No, a good God doesn't do that. And God proved to him through this disaster that he loved him. You know something? Oh, Jehoshaphat never lost his family. And you can lose ships, but it's not as bad as losing loved ones. And God in his goodness is teaching him, Jehoshaphat, I love you. You know, a man has written a poem. And I'm not preaching on because of this poem, but I never saw anything in the world that fits in more beautifully, because it's entitled, My Ships Are All Broken. My ships are all broken, the ships I'd planned to bring me great riches from many a land. They're battered and broken, and ships I'd built are now on the shore, and they lie covered with silt. My ships are all broken. I built them with pride and launched them with hopes that they'll sail with the tide. But ere they set out for faraway shore, on the rocks they were dashed, and now they are no more. My ships are all broken. God stretched forth his hand, and now they lie shattered, all covered with sand. He smote them in judgment in order to show his love will not let me in folly to go. My ships are all broken. And oh, I can sing, for had they survived, and had not gold been my king. But now I'm free from the chain of my greed. I trust in the Lord to supply my every need. My ships are all broken. There's no need to sigh, no reason to murmur or moan or to cry, for when God sends his storm to sink my fond fleet, then let me submit and lie down at his feet. My ships are all broken, but up I look not behind, but upward to heaven my treasure to find, for there in the glory are the riches of grace, and I won't from now on to see the king's face. Am I talking to somebody this morning whose ships are all broken? I say two things. First of all, here's a man that needed to have them broken, but a many a good person has had their ships all broken. Oh, when the doctor says your health is gone, and our hearts have been saddened by the loss of health for the time at least of some for whom we pray. Sometimes things happen to the best people in the world. And if they would put it this way, they would say, my ship's all broken. Someone else has said, I will not doubt, though all my ships at sea come drifting home with broken mast and sails. I shall believe the hand which never fails from seeming evil worketh good for me. And though I weep because these sails are battered, still will I cry while my best hopes lie shattered. I trust in thee. And what a wonderful thing. No matter what comes, all to trust in God is the greatest thing that a Christian can ever do. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray this morning that precious souls would be saved. Lord, I think of all the unsaved people. And some are loved ones and family members of precious people in this auditorium this morning. And their ships, these unsaved people, their ships are all sunk. But they don't know it. Oh, God in heaven, save the lost, I pray this morning. And my Father, today I pray that thou wilt speak to hearts. There are some who need to just say, God is everything, and this world is nothing. And I mean to go with God no matter what the price. Help folks this morning to make decisions of trust in the Lord with their lives. And Father, I pray this morning, if there are people here with unfinished business, some will need to be baptized, some will need to be members of the church, some will need to start tithing, Some who need to start soul winning, whatever it is. Lord, give us a glimpse this morning of what could happen even to good, precious people unless we walk with Thee. Bless the hearts of these dear people. Have Thine own way, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, I ask, and for His glory, amen. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment.